Children, the word tells us that the Midianites came up into the land of Israel like a swarm of locusts. There were many, many in their army. They filled the land, and just like locusts, they ate up all the children of Israel's food and crops, and they took away, they stole their animals, their sheep and goats and cattle and donkeys. The children of Israel had only what little they could quickly grab and take away up into the mountains and hide from the Midianites. And this went on for 7 years until the children of Israel were very hungry and poor. They were miserable. And why was this? Well, it was because they weren't following the Lord. They instead were worshiping the Canaanite false idols called Baal and Asherah. They thought these idols could help them more than the Lord. And when they worshiped Baal, they were really worshiping evil spirits who told them that it was okay for them to murder, commit adultery, steal, bear false witness, and covet each other's things. When they're worshiping those idols, the Lord couldn't help them because they didn't want the Lord's help. But finally, they realized how miserable they were and why they were so miserable, because they weren't following the Lord. And then they were ready to turn back to the Lord again. So then the Lord raised up a hero, a judge named Gideon, to rescue them from the Midianites. And Gideon did not think he could do it. He said, "I'm the littlest in my family, and my family's not a big family in Israel. How can I do it?" And the Lord said, "I will be with you, and you shall strike the Midianites as if they were just one man." And so Gideon blew the shofar, the battle trumpet, and he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh and Asher and Zebulun and Naphtali and gathered an army. 32,000 soldiers came up to help Gideon. But then we read how the Lord said, "You have too many soldiers." Why was it going to be too many soldiers? What might happen? The children of Israel might boast and say, "We conquered the Midianites," and not realize that it was only the Lord who conquered the Midianites. So the Lord told Gideon, "Tell the soldiers, anybody who's afraid should go home." And more than two-thirds of his army went home. 22,000 men all went home. They were too frightened to fight the Midianites, even though the Midianites were making them miserable. That left 10,000, and the Lord said, "That's still too many. So bring them down to the water, and I will examine them there." And then Gideon saw that 300 of the men would stand in the water and gather it up in their hands and lap it out of their hands like this. And all the rest of the 10,000 got down on their knees and put their face in the water. And the Lord said, "By the 300 men who lapped, I will save Israel." Just 300 men against the huge swarm of locusts of the Midianites. And so what Gideon did was he made his army seem much bigger than it was. He stationed his men all around in the hills above the camp of the Midianites. And in the middle of the night, at his signal, they suddenly smashed the clay pitchers they had, and the torches inside flared up into the night. And they blew their ram's horn trumpets, and they shouted, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon!" Now the Lord had already before this made the Midianites terrified of Gideon. And when they suddenly thought they were surrounded by a huge army, they were so terrified that the Midianites began to kill each other. And then the ones who were left ran away, and Gideon called up all the troops, and they chased them. We read how they caught the princes of Midian. Later in the story, they caught the kings too. And so the children of Israel had rest for 40 years from the Midianites. Now, what is the Lord teaching us in this story? The battle cry of Gideon and his men was, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." The sword represents the Lord's truth by which we fight against the evil spirits and against our own bad habits. And the Lord wants that sword in our minds to be clearly His sword. This is truth I know from His word. And at the same time, it's my truth, truth I want to live by no matter what, then it's the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And how does the Lord do this? The story in the spiritual sense shows us how. Midian, in a good sense, represents people who like to learn the truth and because they want to do what the Lord commands. And that's a good thing. We all start by just simply obeying what the Lord says. But the weakness of the Midian state, what's bad about it, is that we don't, in that state, we don't really love the truth. What we love to do is do the thing that makes other people think we're doing the right thing. And we like to have rewards. We like to be paid back for doing our good things. And we like to boast. We like to be able to tell other people about, did you know that I did this and such today? And I didn't do that. We like to tell people about the good things we've done. And the problem with this state is that then we don't really see the truth very clearly because that's not what we love. What we love is we want to know what other people are going to think is good. And a problem that can arise then is, well, first of all, rewards are usually pretty good for us. We need rewards to learn how to do what's right. It's very important for men to be paid well for the work they do for other people so they can raise their families. So rewards aren't bad in themselves, and neither is the approval of our friends. It's good for us to be surrounded by people who help us do what's right and not do what's wrong. But the problem comes when people around us are not doing what's right and not approving of us when we do what's right. For example, you might be in a situation where you or one of your friends starts to tell jokes about somebody else. And they're cruel. They're not nice to that other person. You'd hate to be that other person yourself, but your friends are laughing. So it feels good to you, and or maybe you want to laugh with them so you're in the in-group and not getting laughed at yourself. That's a Midian kind of state. Or another kind of situation could be where a man is at work and somehow in his work environment with his fellow workers, an attitude and a habit grows up of cheating the company. We're not going to work a good day's work. We're going to take breaks that are too long. We're going to steal stuff or money from the company. We're going to cheat the customers in some little ways, as long as they don't catch us. That kind of attitude can get going. And then it's what everybody expects you to do. It's what they even want you to do so they can do it too. And that is a weakness of the Midianite state. And then it's like the children of Israel. We become miserable. It might take us a while to realize it, but we have no spiritual food. Spiritual food is the good feeling you get from doing an honest day's work and knowing that you've helped somebody. Spiritual food is the peace that we have when we act according to conscience, from what we know the Lord wants us to do. And all that goes away. And we don't really have any good friends either in that situation either, because our so-called friends are encouraging us to do bad things instead of good things. Those aren't good friends. Those are the kind of people that would just as soon laugh at us as the other guy. Those aren't friends. So we don't have any good spiritual food. So life can become kind of sad for us. And how does the Lord rescue us from this state? Well, the first thing is to get rid of all the soldiers who don't want to fight, who are too frightened to fight. All the attitudes in us that are afraid of what other people are going to think, we just have to get rid of them, not paying attention to that anymore. What I want to do is what the Lord says, no matter what. And the soldiers who lapped up water like dogs, water, of course, represents the truth, so, and a dog represents eagerness, so you picture these men lapping up the truth eagerly, and they're still up and ready to fight instead of down on the ground. So you can see how that represents the eagerness to do what the Lord says no matter what. That's the most important thing. And when we have that point of view, I'm going to do what the Lord says, then the Lord can give us a clear sight of some truths that become the sword of the Lord and of Gideon, of ourselves too. It's like all around the camp at night, the torches flaring up the bright light. I can see what the Lord wants me to do. And the loud trumpets, it's really clear what the Lord wants me to do. And the clay pitchers smashing all their old attitudes where we were kind of vague or confused about what's right and wrong. That's all gone. That's what the Lord wants for us. And so, what do we learn from this story? We need to be like the soldiers who lapped up the water. Be eager to find out, what does the Lord actually say? What does he really want me to do? We need to read the word every day to keep our swords sharp and bright. So the evil spirits can't confuse us about what's right and wrong. We know, oh no, the Lord says this. He doesn't say that. We have it clear in our minds. And even more, we need to be ready to do it no matter what. And then the Lord's truth will become for us the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Amen.